apply.
Senator Harry Reid says all 100 senators want to scurry back to their states so they wrap things up quickly on the Hill. In the meantime, sadly, a report comes out that Faisal Shahzad, who was trying to blow up part of Times Square, was actually planning two attacks because he thought his first one would be successful. The FBI thinks he actually underestimated what could have happened if the detonator had worked. Also, a Rutgers University student commits suicide. That's the way it's looking, and this is a sad story, because he was unknowingly the target of an internet broadcast that showed him in an encounter with another young man, and he ends up killing himself as a result of this webcast. When do things go too far? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this little old show. You can be a part of it very easily, my friends, because I'm going to give you the numbers right at the top. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. And we're even going to dip into gun control and gun rights and concealed and carry. That issue's been brought up because of what happened at the University of Texas. But first, let's play the hits. We all care about taxes. Why? Because we have to pay them. It affects every single one of us. It's a common denominator, just like the weather. If you get money back and you're making no money, okay, it affects you still. If you make an okay amount of money, it affects you still. If you make a whole lot of money, it affects you. It doesn't matter. Every single one of us is tweaked by taxes in some way. As you can imagine, President Obama couldn't be more different in his view on tax cuts than Congressman John Boehner from Ohio. Both of them sound off on tax cuts.
If you're making $300,000, you'd still get a tax break on the first $250,000 worth of income. You'd pay a slightly higher rate on the $50,000 above that.
The Democrat leaders leave town without stopping these tax increases. They're turning their backs on the American people. Listen, the American people deserve better.
Listen, the American people are drowning in debt thanks to the evil empire known as credit cards. And listen, I know there's free will and choice and all that sort of stuff, but tell me how many people don't have some sort of credit card debt, and why? Because they were trying to pay something off or for whatever reason. It's not always that you went crazy and you bought the biggest, baddest stereo you could find with woofers that would just blow out the entire town. There seems to be this misconception that it's freewheeling spending. Sometimes what happens is you're paying off really the little amount you have in your credit card, and they hijack you with those big interest rates. Now, with the new rules, that's theoretically not going to happen, but trust me, there is other ways around that. I talk about how many of us have short attention spans because things move so fast now. It's like at the speed of lightning times 10. And the big concern is not so much for those of us who are older, although that comes up with jobs, but for the children who are on all these different medications, especially for the ADHD. And a new study came out, and it's worth mentioning at the top of the show, because now we're talking about the hyperactive side of things, not just the ADD. And they're saying that, and it's the first time I've ever heard this, that ADHD can be inherited, but no specific genes have been identified before that seem to underlie that condition. They're saying that people with certain genetic markers will have it. They'll get it. That there's some kind of a biological clue that tells those in the medical profession that the person is susceptible to developing that kind of disease. And why is it significant? Because of how many kids are on medicine that are walking around like zombies in schools. I can't tell you the amount of teachers I've talked to who feel awful. And most of them are boys. It's not so much the little girls, although it's fully not completely all male, but mostly it's the boys. And they're putting them on these drugs. It scares me to death to see what the overlap is and how do you cope after you've been taking medicine from, I don't know, second, third grade on. And what does it mean in the future? It's good to know more about it, about the genetics of ADHD. And maybe they could have things tailored more towards specific kids, I guess, before they start to have serious problems. But all of this is still pretty speculative. And how many parents out there, because there's lots of controversy over this, how many parents are grappling with what to do and how to treat their kids? They're talking about nearly 1 million misdiagnoses of ADHD in the U.S. And I think they better get a better grip, at least on the biological side, of what it means and distinguishing this and what mental health people say, because that's usually what it is. It can start with the teacher, and automatically there's a kid who's moving around a little bit too much in the seat and seems a little distracted. Ooh, we got to test him. And, you know, I'm not making light of the people that have it, of the kids that have it, but I think too often they're quick to rubber stamp this. How did the rest of us get through school? How did the rest of you listening to me get through school without medications? And you were eating all that crap. You were eating a donut before school. My goodness, man, how did the teacher survive? How did we all get through school back in the day? I don't understand. It's a whole new world. And it's unfortunately for some of those kids, I think it's they're being misdiagnosed, and I'm worried for the future, because where does this take us? What happens when the kid gets through high school and then they go on to college? What do they turn into? When do they get off the drugs? Does this mean for the rest of their life they believe that there's something different about them and they have to take it to be able to think clearly, to be able to survive, to not have you know, the adrenaline flowing through them too much? Food for thought. And it's going to be the subject of a segment coming up pretty soon here on America Tonight in the next couple of weeks. We've talked about it before, but some new information. All right, quickly, Faisal Shahzad, I mentioned that at the top. This is interesting stuff because he had a plan laid out where it wouldn't have just been the one bomb. It would have been the one on May 1st, if it had gone off, he would have tried to detonate another one somewhere else in New York. Instead, because it failed, he was running to get out of the country. He was trying to get to Pakistan on that flight, remember, from JFK when he was pulled off the flight. He was determined to target a lot of Americans on a very large scale. And Shahzad used webcams that were on the Internet as part of his effort to maximize the deadly effect of the bomb. In other words, he was online and he was studying video feeds in different areas in Times Square to figure out when and where he could kill the most people. How sad is that? There's an example of technology that seems to be great for a lot of people when you're looking at live shots of things that he was using to plot as to how many people were going through the areas. He's gone. He's put away, thank goodness. Hang with us, Dungeon next.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you are hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
Less is more. I want you to think of Life Change Tea as, well, a 2008 Ferrari 612. The Ferrari 612 is a two-door, four-passenger luxury car that gives an exploding 540 horsepower through its 6-liter V12. It has a top speed of 199 miles per hour and can accelerate 0 to 60 in about 4 seconds. Life Change T will accelerate your life into feeling more energy, losing weight, and cleansing toxins out of your body so you'll live longer. And guess what? You can accelerate your life without a Ferrari 612 sticker price of $318,000. You can buy green tea for less, but unfortunately, it's just another daily driver with no performance. So for just about a dollar a day, you can drive the Ferrari of teas. Don't be fooled by size. Check our website out at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Remember Life Change Tea.
Moment coming up on ATN. You know, I've gotten kind of loose with the rules in the dungeon. It used to just be reserved for the worst of the worst, and I've stretched the definition of who I think should spend time in the dungeon. And this is pretty broad terms. I've been trying to get someone on from the TSA, and of course, you can get a quote here or there, but they don't really want to do any in-depth interviews for the most part. It's like this shroud of secrecy. So just so you know, if you're flying somewhere for Thanksgiving or Christmas or going on a trip somewhere, airports across the country will start enforcing this new, tougher rule on passenger identification. It starts on November 1st, actually. And what it is it requires you to give your full name as it appears on your government-issued ID, your gender and date of birth when you buy your ticket. So the program is called Secure Flight. It supposedly first kicked in back in August of 2009, and I guess it really hasn't been enforced. The names get checked with a database of terrorism suspects. The TSA says this is going to prevent passengers from being misidentified as a potential terrorist. But the worry is, how many people, you know, am I Catherine? Am I Kate? Am I Katie? Am I, you know, how many of you, John? Jonathan, whatever. You know what I mean. Usually your full name is reserved for being yelled at when you're a child, but maybe not. And there's nicknames, but the nicknames become the names. You know what I'm saying? And then there's, especially with women, the craziness of the misidentification of the married name versus the your single name. And people don't do it on purpose. People are filling something out. You have a different name on the driver's license. I mean, it's really the same name. It's a form of the other name. I think there's going to be a lot of delays. If you don't have the information, they say they're going to redirect you back to the ticket counter to get the information so they can get the boarding pass. So now you're going to have to, I mean, what are they going to do? Ask us, like, rank, name, serial number, kind of like that kind of deal? This is my full name, this is my date of birth, and this is my gender. So you get where I'm going with this. Look, the airlines have this information online before the person gets the boarding pass, right? But somehow, I just know, that a lot of people are going to fall through the cracks. I'm just praying it's not going to be me or any of you, because there's some kind of a mistake on the info that you put in. And I think the women and the married names thing is going to definitely be a big one. The maiden names are on the IDs because they haven't switched them over yet, because they don't want to wait in the DMV line because they have three jobs and they've got to also drop off their kids in between all of that. So I think it's much ado about nothing. I understand about checks. I mean, listen, how does it seem common sense to me that you know what a nickname is? Like Alberto is Al, or Alfonso could be Al. I know that. You know that. I mean, I can give you dozen scenarios. Ed or Eddie or Edward. And if I had a ticket, if I'm checking someone in, and the one thing says Ed, and then the other thing says Edward, I'm just not thinking he's a terrorist. I understand. I can completely relate to that. It is the same version of the name. My, oh, my. And so for that reason, because I think the TSA is so inept anyway, there are other things that could be done, and I've said them before. Hire, pay more money. Hire the former detectives. Have people who know what to look for when you've got massive amounts of people going through checkpoints. They know. They see. You can tell. They can tell. A really good detective knows when something's up. Instead of accosting the people who clearly, unless something was planted on them, have nothing to do with terrorism. So the government, or TSA, we're going to shove your fannies once again in the dungeon. Without further ado, Donovan, open the dungeon.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
So just make sure you take a really good book when you go to the airport. I mean, we all know this by now. You have to, it's a trite saying, but you got to just be patient. Because who knows? I mean, who knows what's going to happen when you get there, the questions you're going to be asked. And just make sure you remember your right birthday. Make sure you know what you're saying. And hopefully you know your gender, too. So if you're questioned about any of those things, there's no question that you'll get tripped up on something very, very stupid. All right, this is sad, I think. You know, Sarah Palin is one of those people, we say it all the time. It's just like Hillary Clinton. You like her, you don't like her, whatever. And there's no real in between. It's like when I say during the show, I invite everybody to call in. If you're left of left and you're listening to the show and you don't like the viewpoint or you don't like what someone says, call up. Tell us what you think. Give your viewpoint. If you're right of right and you don't like what I'm saying, you don't like what this person's saying, you don't agree with it, that's the conversation. That's the mashup you want to hear. Let's hear it. So anyway, Sarah Palin, as many people love her and will pay however much money to hear her speak, she apparently gets tons of death threats. I mean, tons of death threats. And she's got somebody that's a stalker. So she's got a restraining order against a Pennsylvania man accused of threatening her and stalking her. And the thing is, the kid, the guy, is 18 years old. And the judge in Alaska found probable cause to believe that he, yeah, was stalking the former government, a governor and VP candidate, that it was clear. So it was implied threats, I guess, through the phone, written messages, and he was saying things like he was buying a one-way ticket to Alaska, he was sending a receipt for a gun purchase, he was going to watch her back, and she testified by phone that she was feared for her life and for her family's safety, and what she said was, bottom line is he's crazy and he could kill me. He wants me dead. And then she also testified that he believes that he has some kind of a relationship with her daughter and has brought the girl's name up. So they've also got protective custody for her. Oh, how crazy is that? There is that downside of fame or infamy either way. And you're seeing this more and more. Because when we talk about the gun issue, which we're going to do next, since the University of Texas has opened up this whole thing again about college campuses, and this guy sent a letter with proof of a gun purchase, by the way, and claimed all kinds of things, was saying that he is trying to follow God but has evil in him and he's going to sell everything and come to Alaska with his shotgun. Ooh. But now more and more people who get that celebrity 15 minutes plus are packing. They're not just taking the vest and the security guards, they're packing too. Another one of the people that would make that list, and he doesn't have any kind of a restraining order against anybody, but Glenn Beck, I was reading a story about him in the New York Times where he wears a bulletproof vest and he's got people around him to watch out for him, I guess. And he's got daughters, he's concerned about that, and he wanted a security wall, basically, built around his house in Connecticut, and they, because of homeowners associations or whatever, they wouldn't allow that to happen, but he was in fear for people who hate him or, you know, think he's nuts or whatever, that want to come after him and strangle him or shoot him or, you know, whatever it is, but it's like, you know, we long for gentler times, but we certainly aren't seeing them, whatever the circumstances are. And, you know, it's like I said, black or white, how you care or what you think of Palin or what you think of Beck or what you think of any of these people, you know, even Bloomberg, for as much as that mayor of New York is so anti-gun, how hypocritical. He's got guys packing heat surrounding him. He's got his own bodyguards. Yeah, they talk about him riding the subway. Guaranteed there's someone not too far away from him watching his every move to make sure that he's okay. We're talking about that next. Guns and concealed and carry next on ATN.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
On air, online,
and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
Listen up, friends. This is Alex Jones with key information. The mainstream media is now admitting that we're going into a depression. Don't be dependent on the government for you and your family. You need to get your own supply of high-quality storable foods from eFoodsDirect.com. They're the best company out there, the longest continually operating, with a ton of great food to choose from. It's all fresh and made on a monthly basis, not some old cruddy food they're selling you like some of the other guys. Try their new evacuation pack, a 2-week supply of delicious, easy-to-fix food. It comes with all the equipment you need to prepare it. With open talk of a strike on Iran in the next 3 months, the crisis in the Gulf, and possible evacuations, get yourself and your family ready today. The place to go is eFoodsDirect.com. Go to their website online right now, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, or call 800-409-5633. Again, on the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, or give them a call at 800-409-5633.
So we know this story by now, that the University of Texas the other day was temporarily a shooting gallery thanks to Colton Tooley, a kid who by all accounts was smart, nice, courteous, was terrific in his high school, went to school in Austin, always wanted to go to the University of Texas right down the road, was going there, and then suddenly shows up on campus with an AK-47 assault rifle, goes through campus. The SWAT teams are called. The kids are in lockdown, basically. He turns the gun on himself, kills himself, sadly, in the library. Nobody else was injured. That's the good news about that. Police still don't really know what the motives were because he was an excellent student and he wasn't unpopular. He, you know, who knows if there was a girlfriend or something else involved in this. None of that has come out now. But, it's what a tragedy to think of the family and the friends of this kid and then think of the campus and how shocked the kids were on the campus when suddenly they couldn't go to school. The classes were canceled and you don't know what you're thinking. You know, he wasn't threatening or malicious or creepy looking or any of that stuff is what people are saying. He minded his own business and they're trying to make sense of it. The law's trying to make sense of it. The family's trying to make sense of it. The university's trying to make sense of it. So they did show up. They did pursue him. He goes into the library, and then he kills himself. And just a very, very sad thing. If he was depressed, there was something wrong, they didn't know. He had a family where he was staying with his family. He's living with his family because he was just 19. His father was a veterinarian. His mother ran a daycare center and no motives for now. But what he did ended in a lockdown of the campus on Tuesday morning, and panicked students were warned to stay indoors and with their doors locked. Here's what one of the students said it was like.
See people just screaming, yelling, I don't get down. You're like, there's somebody with a gun. He's got a mask, crazy guy. And it's just, it scared me.
And see, he had a ski mask pulled over his face. That's what he's talking about. So in the end, he dies, scares the people, and then opens up the debate about whether or not there should be concealed and carry on a college campus. Remember what happened at Virginia Tech back in 2007, where you have 32 people that were killed, and how awful it was. And they were just bait. They were just waiting, hovering in corners and trying to hide under desks because it was just a matter of, are they going to be killed? By the time the SWAT team got there and the police responded, that's how many people had died. If somebody had had a gun, he was gone. Because if one of the professors or teachers had a gun, that would have happened. In the case, this is the same case, he didn't hit anyone. He was spraying bullets around. But somebody could have taken care of it if they were carrying a gun. The other side of concealed and carry. Now, to do that, you have to have the permit, the whole thing. You have to know what you're doing when you shoot the gun, theoretically, because you don't get the permit. Otherwise, you don't pass the test, all of that. If the thought of some people would be, well, the problem is, if on a college campus, and that's a big college campus, you have a lot of students, if however many, every third one, is concealed and carry, some nut comes on, Is it a shooting gallery in all directions? People are firing and other people get hit. And then when the police show up, in this case, clearly it was him. And they would have known the ski mask, the rifle. I think they would have been able to tell the difference. But in other circumstances, maybe not. So would that create a different kind of danger? The governor in Texas thinks not and wants to see concealed and carry go beyond the borders of any Texas university, so that somebody can get it. If they're an adult and they're of the right age, over 18, they can go through the rigmarole of it, then they should be able to carry it. He carries one when he's jogging. So the point is, it's different in every state, and of course the gun laws are different in every state, but it has been discussed in other universities, in other states. Could this be something that happens at other schools? Is this something that we want to do? Trey is listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Kate. How you doing tonight?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Playing with the horses as usual.
That's such a good job.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think with the gun issue about college campuses? I mean, of course, in Kentucky, there's some big universities and some great small schools, too.
Yeah, I think it should be, if it's concealed and carry and you went through and took all the tests and everything, I think it should be allowed anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if you can pass it, I mean, you know this, Trey, if somebody can use the gun correctly, you have to be prepared to know what you're doing. It's just like when you say, well, if all women should just have guns, because what if some nut breaks in the house or whatever, but if she can't get to the gun, doesn't know how to shoot it, it's a lost cause. I mean, that's why concealed and carry could be really good.
Yep. I mean, I don't have a concealed and carry, but, you know, growing up in Mississippi, hunting all my life and everything, there's not too many guns I don't know much about. It's just places like Mississippi, where I'm from, you never heard of. Like up here, there's, you know, break-ins all the time in houses, and that's just something that don't happen when you know there's people there that's got guns. And I think it'd be the same way on college campuses. You know if there's people there with guns on them, you're not about to walk in and think, hey, I can get away with anything here because ain't nobody going to do anything.
Yeah, good point. I mean, is it, how much of a deterrent is it? I like your, you know, the way you, your analogy about Mississippi versus even where you are in Kentucky, what the difference is. Hey, Trey, thanks. I'm sure we'll talk to you tomorrow for Nail the Score.
Yep, thanks, Kate.
All right, thank you. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. A couple of you have also sent me emails about this. Here's one from Sweet Jake Ryan, and he says, I heard about this while in class at Emporia State around 10:30 from a news app. I was understandably disturbed by such a display. When I told the professor that was teaching us at the time, he shrugged his shoulders and said, "That happens every now and then. How could a person be so numb to this? This shows our society has gotten more or less used to this kind of thing. I'm sincerely glad you're talking about this subject now. A lot of people around here haven't even heard about it. Your friend from KVOE Radio." Yeah, Jake, thanks for that note. That's not a very good, I wonder what subject he was teaching, but that, especially if it was journalism or anything to do with current events or whatever, boy, that reaction is odd because it shouldn't be, it happens every now and then, it should not happen. I wouldn't want to be the mother or even the father on the other end of the phone call that got the bad news that, oh, gee, your son was murdered today in that massacre at Virginia Tech. He just happened to be going to his class, and he was there, and he was a sitting duck. Sorry, ma'am. I mean, come claim his body. Yeah, I don't think so. And at Texas, I guarantee there are people that were flipping out about that because they have children that go there. It's a very big Tier 1 school. And there were potentially however many victims that could have been. So it's scary. It's scary that you send off your kid to go to school. And listen, this is, it's the land of adults, and they're crossing over from, theoretically, from high school and going into a campus environment if they're going away, especially where they learn, I think it's good, you learn certain things, the socialization skills that you need to get through life. But on the other hand, if this became more commonplace, that would be pretty, I think that'd be pretty jolting. And concealed and carry, I'd be curious about what more parents think. Just like Trey and I said the same thing, the idea is you have some skills in this area, so you've been through the testing and you're not just fumbling around with guns. You don't have people that are just walking around with guns. You have people that, you know how to use the weapon and would use it. I mentioned what the other school of thought is wow, would this just become, you know, what could happen on these college campuses if you had lots of people walking around with handguns? You know, I think the Trace point was a good one. Is it a deterrent when people know, okay, if I'm going to break in here or if I'm going to take my chances on a college university because I'm big and bad and I want to make a statement or I'm disturbed or I'm upset at my teacher or I didn't get the grade I thought I should get or whatever the reason is, would it be a deterrent? It could be. But a lot of these people take themselves out. So you have to factor that in. How much of a deterrent would it be then if that's what they ultimately want to do and they're trying to make a statement? All right, this one is from John Jay. He says, "I love America Tonight. I never know what you're going to talk about, Kate. And you mentioned something that is near and dear to my heart. After Virginia Tech, I thought it was appalling that in the state of Virginia, they didn't pass some kind of concealed and carry law. That would have been the right thing to do. How would you feel if you were going to school, you fell into this situation, and all you could do was pray that somebody would save you? That's not the way things work these days. You have to take matters into your own hands, or otherwise, we're all victims." Good point. We're all victims in the end if we allow ourselves to be. Hang with us. Stretch Drive next.
Thank you. If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name-brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey Water Filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
In confusing times, would a simple outlook on health and beauty make sense?
If you're tired of taking dry vitamins without noticing any results, then the Bogdana Nutritional Formula is for you. Easy to take and absorb.
The absorption of liquids is 98% in comparison to only 20% for dry vitamins.
For the past 25 years, Bogdana Rejuvenating Nutritional Formula has been proven to get results.
Detox, nourish, and rejuvenate your body with this one-of-a-kind supplement that contains 150 natural and organic nutrients.
And a one-month supply is less than a dollar per day.
Take charge of your health and feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins or your money back.
Go to BogdanaLiquidVitamins.com or call 1-800-234-5608.
That's BogdanaLiquidVitamins.com or call 800-234-5608. Give your body what it needs and it will perform miracles in return.
For inner health and outer beauty, feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins today.
I think we need to lighten the load, although we're not lightening it too much at the top of this. Somehow I got into bike racing a little bit. Not me, myself, I wish. I do have a bike, and I have been riding it. But, you know, a good day is 10 miles. If I do 10 miles, I'm like, yeah, give me a cold one. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know what was going on with the three-time Tour de France champion Alberto Contador from Spain. He's like the arch rival of Lance Armstrong, at least in the last couple of years, but he tested positive for a banned stimulant while winning this year's race. Ooh. And he's been suspended by the governing body. This whole deal with racing. It's a World Anti-Doping Agency accredited lab, to be exact, in Cologne, Germany. They said they found a small concentration of something in his urine sample that would it was 400 times less than what the anti-doping laboratories accredited, but they could detect it. And testing positive was the main thing, the two samples, because they take two samples. So that means you formally and then you provisionally, that's what they call it, suspend them. If Contador, and this is all we care about, if Contador is proved to have cheated, cycling would suffer another devastating blow. Millions of dollars, millions, have been pumped into what's supposedly the most stringent anti-doping regimes anywhere, and they hope that they had turned a corner on doping by riders because they felt like there was a mockery of the sport. You listen, see, this is the problem. If you even tuned in for 5 seconds to the Tour de France and the mountain stages they go through, and the grueling adventure that is that bike race in modern times, somebody was telling me this the other day, if everybody is doping and you're not doping, you're out. You're not going to make it. So is it fair? Is it foul? Yeah, it's kind of like the steroid thing. But to me, I think it's horrible that the sport got so dirty, that there's all these accusations, that there's all these problems. Now, Contador is trying to say that it was a food contamination, that that's what it is. Because sometimes people get tripped up on stuff, although I'm not believing this, that's not to dupe them, there is a simple reason for why something tested positive. But let me tell you, Contador was a guy who took a huge swipe at Lance Armstrong. But, you know, then you have Floyd Landis. He was stripped in 2006 after he tested positive. And for years, he denied doping. Then he says, oh, yes, I did do performance-enhancing drugs. And then he accused Lance Armstrong and others of doing the doping, too. And now you have Contador. So what a nightmare that sport has become. And it will take a chunk out of it. You know, there's only so much that it could endure, and there will always be people that will watch, but when Lance Armstrong won 7 in a row and he overcame incredible odds beating cancer, he really lit up the boards. He got people into cycling in this country, and I think that's why there are so many that are reluctant to try to take him down. There is supposedly this proof and all this other stuff, but there are a lot of people that don't want to see that happen. So it's a strange deal. And it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. What if everybody else is doing it? You don't have a prayer. You might as well be at the back of the peloton and beyond because you have no chance of competing. So what does it mean when everybody, it's an unwritten thing that everybody's doing it, but then the sport is trying to police itself? I don't know. There's some things that just, to me, don't add up in cycling. They don't. Ryder Cup, that starts on Friday. The Ryder Cup is in Wales, and boy, Tiger Woods is a vital part of this team. Love him, hate him, don't really care. Either way, his skills in the Ryder Cup are needed if he's on. Phil Mickelson, lefty, he's my favorite. He's also going to be counted on. Bubba Watson is a fun player to watch. He's part of the Ryder Cup team. Hey, listen, the bottom line is, with the Ryder Cup, this is about the American pride thing. You want to beat the Europeans this time around. I want to see it happen in Wales. And this is a pretty good team that's been assembled. So here's what Bubba Watson and Lefty had to say about the cup.
My dad was a military man. He was in Vietnam. He gave us a special present last night. It meant a lot. My dad's dying of cancer. The doctor says 3 months to live. I'm playing this for him and representing the United States. And I'm more than likely never going to play be in the military unless they ask for our help, you know. So more than likely I'm not going to be in the military, and this is my one chance to be like my dad.
It's fun for us to be able to share the highs and the lows with other players, players that we compete against each other week in and week out, but to share the same type of emotion that you feel in some of the most challenging.
Yeah, and it's definitely challenging, as Phil Mickelson was saying there, and it starts at 2:30 in the morning. So you could listen to America Tonight, and then you could flip on the Ryder Cup for a few minutes before you doze off if you're one of those third shifters. And, okay, here's my main reason I want to see America just crush the Europeans. Colin Montgomery is brutal how he attacks the U.S. but has made massive amounts of money with the game of golf, in the game of golf, on the United States. So I would love to, and he's the captain of the Euros again, so I would love to see the U.S. get it done. And Corey Pavin is that soft-spoken, just nice, nice guy. Doesn't have the attitude, doesn't have the stuffiness of a golfer, just a workman-like lunchbox, I think, kind of guy. So let's see what happens. We'll know by the end of the weekend, certainly. We'll know. We move on from the Ryder Cup to the NFL. Coming up in our next version of America Tonight in the third hour, we have Nail the Score. If you've never heard of Nail the Score, here's how it works. It's very simple. It's like picking lottery numbers. Basically, we've got the game of the week. The computer randomly picks it. Then you tell me who you think's going to win of the games that are on the game that's the game of the week. And what do you think the final score will be? A couple of people have come close, but nobody has nailed the score yet. I feel good about this. I think this season someone's going to nail it. And part of the talk in the NFL this week was about the fact that the NFL next year is going to, or so it seems, it has to get the final vote of approval, but I think it will. It looks like the NFL goes to the 18-game season. I think they need to lop off some of those preseason games if they do that. You want to kill these players? I mean, they're like gladiators now. It's crazy. Here's what Bill Polian said about that.
We can solve what problems present themselves. We can learn from the CFL and USFL experience. And hopefully, at the end of the day, everybody agrees on something that that is good for the game. I think that's going to happen.
Well, what's good for the game is the owners want to be able to make more money, and it's a, you know, it's X amount of games in front of the home crowd. So the idea is you get more people that would shuttle through for the extra game. So I get that. I get the money-making part of it. But I think you have to, in all fairness to the players, and if I were an agent of one of the players, or if I were part of the players' union, I would be very careful about this. Be careful what you wish for. Does that mean they get more money? But money's not going to help them if they get yet another concussion or an injury. And so I think with the 18 games, they've got to at least lop off a preseason game or two. But I bet you they won't do that. Any thoughts on the NFL or any of the things that we talked about, concealed and carry? You can send them to me at americatonight.net.